Good morning, everybody. It's Larry Jacobs here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the day after the Super Bowl. And congrats to Tom Brady. A great man for all us old farts. What can I tell you? All right, just an unbelievable game, and congrats to them. I think it's just great. Okay, I really do. So I just love that game. Okay, every minute of it. So what can I tell you? I'm sorry, Kansas City, if you're listening, forgive me. Okay, what can I tell you? All right. Anyway, hey, we got a great show for you today. I got a guest who's never been here before. I've talked to her on the phone. She's a lovely lady named Katie Dorn. Katie co-founded a SEL company, Social Emotional Learning, called Empower You, and we'll give you all the information about it, etc. She's here to just tell us why she started it, what the company's about, why it's perhaps different from other SEL curriculum and ideas out there. So it'll be a nice time for all of you to listen and get some good information on this, which is really important these days as we start to kind of swing back in. We're getting that feeling a little bit, and hopefully by next fall, we'll all be back together again, but we got a lot of work to do in terms of social emotional learning. Can't just be an aside in there. We'll talk about all that. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the American Consortium for Equity in Education, our organization, free to educators. We get new members every day. Please join with us over there. You can do that by signing up at the website. Over there, you'll find all the podcasts that we do, and please enjoy our magazine. It's an online journal called Equity in Access. It's right on site for everybody. We got a brand new issue out there. It's been out a week, and it is absolutely excellent. I got to tell you, we're getting nice kudos, nice thoughts, nice remarks from people about it. So please go over to ace-ed.org. Be with us. Stand up for equity. It's important these days. Let's bring Katie on. All right, and I got things circling. There you are. Hi, Katie. Larry here.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Thank you. Especially if you live in Tampa Bay, it's an incredibly happy Monday after that game last night. So
that was rough for the Kansas City folks. But yeah.
I know it was. But, you know, they had their year of championships. It's very hard to repeat. The last guy who did it was Brady. Okay, so,
you know,
what can I tell you? And the Bucks deserve it. They played a great season, okay?
Yeah.
And me being in New England, you know, it's really fun to just watch Tom Brady continue down there. It was time for him to move on, and, man, did he show everybody what he's made of. I got to tell you, speaking of social-emotional learning, we should have the Tom Brady system. That would get us all together, okay?
He's got something going on that's pretty special. Who knows? But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he does it. Maybe – he may not be from this planet. I'm not sure. Okay,
that
but
we'll find out.
You never know, man. It's unbelievable. Katie, how you doing? Tell us a little bit about you before we talk about Empower You, your service. But tell us about yourself. Where you come out of?
I'm in Minnesota. It is 10 below zero this morning, so it's nice and chilly here.
Spring. Okay, spring. Yeah, I live in Maine, so I feel your pain there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a licensed school counselor and a therapist. I'm the mother of 7 grown children, so I've seen a lot of things. But, you know, the first half of my career, I was an entrepreneur. And when I did a pivot in my young 40s and went into schools, I really saw how students were struggling with anxiety and depression and just motivation and engagement, and was really encouraged to try to find a better way to help engage students in their own life so that they could build the skills they needed to, you know, you can't get rid of anxiety and depression, but you sure can help students navigate them more successfully. And that's kind of been my passion's work since then. So here I am.
So why, and now your company is Empower You, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, the letter U, okay, dot education, Empower You dot education. All right. Talk about that. Talk about your new company. Why start a new SEL company? Well, you saw all this stuff. Do it. Go ahead.
It's just there was a big gap in services at Tier 2. What I was seeing as a school counselor was, you know, the students who were struggling to overcome their barriers, whether it was some trauma in their life or just paralyzing anxiety or depression or ADHD, whatever it was, you know, we now know, especially after this year, right, that students who are facing these barriers can't focus and they can't learn. And so when you're working in a school and you have 400 students on your caseload,
yeah,
they come to you because of grades, behavior, attendance. But a lot of times it's not that they can't do the work. There's something else going on. And it's really, it was really hard to find the time in the school day to reengage the students. And I started doing tons of research about scalable ways that could really help students learn the skills that they needed to be successful in school, but more importantly in life, right? I mean, you know, persistence and resilience is the key, you know, and since Carol Duckworth's work, McKinsey just did a study last year, that's really what differentiates someone post-secondary in career success is their ability to overcome hard things. So I partnered with two other clinicians who had complementary lenses to my own, and we worked for 3 years to put together, it's kind of like Noom weight loss, you know, for students with mental health. You know, it had to be, we knew it had to be daily. It couldn't just be, you know, sit down with someone every other week and talk. It, in order for them to really learn intrinsically the skills they needed, needed to be daily for at least 15 to 20 minutes. It needed to be over a period of time. Like I say, I joke about Noom, or, you know, but studies show it needs to be 3 or 4 months in order for these skills to really be woven into the daily life in a way that's lasting.
Yeah.
Right. Takes that long to build a habit. Exactly.
Yeah, it does.
And then it also had it to be supported. It needed to have one-on-one support. So we look at ourselves, we're not replacing the school counselor or social worker, we're just an extension of them. When I was in the school, what I wanted to do but didn't have time to do. So we have one-on-one therapists that walk beside the student during that 12 to 16 week time that they're in the program. It's all online and it's all virtual, but that daily support and encouragement, without it, students wouldn't do it. You know, they need that perspective to keep going and to make that connection between what they're learning and their life in a way that they can take tiny steps forward each day. So, and then finally, it needed to be accessible and equitable. I mean, mental health and self-support shouldn't be a privilege. We really worked hard to make sure that no matter race, gender, economic lens, that this was something that every student could relate to and benefit from. So those are kind of the four pillars of a program that we said, okay, let's try to build this and see if it works. And it's working great.
That is super. Again, empower you, the letter U, dot education. Okay, and thank you for mentioning equity and access. So as you said at the beginning, you were talking about that. And I was wondering, did you see, you know, some kids are come from wealthy families, whatever. There's a lot more counselors, less kids per counselors at a well-funded school, et cetera, et cetera. Was there an equity challenge with all this, even when you were there? Did you see that? You know, that the school, an under-resourced school is under-resourced, and the kids are having real problems.
I think the equity that I've seen is that the system to navigate to get your kids access sometimes to the support they need is divided between the parents who really understand the system and can advocate. And I did see firsthand that people who could go out and pay for a neuropsych and get a diagnosis could qualify for services where another kid was kind of sanctioned because of, they might have had the same diagnosis. No, there wasn't a diagnosis, and it came out in behaviors that it was also maybe gone down the discipline route. So there wasn't an equity there that was troubling to me and disheartening.
Troubling.
So it was like, well, let's, you know, it's my core belief and the belief of our company that no student wants to be discouraged or in that place. They just don't know how to take the next step forward. And if you could find a program that could help them do that, instead of put them in school suspension, which don't get me started on that, out of school
suspension.
You're
welcome to, but I get it.
Yeah. It's just like, well, let's have them do something that's meaningful that can help them, give them an olive branch that really does empower you. The name sounds cheesy, but there's enough adults and people putting pressure on them to do this, do that, get this grade, just do your homework. And they need to know why. They need to reconnect with their purpose and understand how. And I think that's the main thing that makes us difference is we bake a lot of how to change into the course that helps the student take the next step because they're stuck and it doesn't feel good to be stuck in that place of avoidance.
It does not. It's so hard to get out of it. I have to ask you something, and you have to clear this up for me. You said that you work. I think you're talking not figuratively more than literally. Help me out here. You said you work with every kid each day. All right, that it has to be done that way. How do you do that? And I'm just going to make up a fun number. If you have 5,000 kids working with Empower You, do you have 5,000 people that are ready to work with them? And I know you don't. Okay, so I'm asking kind of in a funny way. How do you handle what you said you do?
That's a great, really great question. You know, the kids check into the course for 15 or 20 minutes a day. So it's short. Each of our instructors are master degree therapists who have mm-hmm. expertise with adolescents or young adults. And they go through our training. They can handle like 150 students a day. You know, it's daily doses. They're not setting up a time. It's all asynchronous through our portal, and it's all via text through the portal. And that's the way kids communicate anyway. So it's about over 2 weeks, it works out to be about 50 minutes of support, but it's broken down into like 5 minutes a day chunks of back and forth of support within the portal. That's what makes
and
it
what
scalable.
Thank you. And what happens within those 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever the case may be? Well, in other words, what would the child, the student logs on, what happens?
The student that goes in first, not with the instructor. They complete the daily lesson each day. There's a little opening strategy to kind of teach them mindfulness or how to de-stress. Then there's a lesson where they're introduced to a new skill or strategy. And then they have to reflect on that lesson and apply it to their goals. At the beginning of the program, the student takes a pre-assessment where they self-evaluate their wellness in personal, academic, social, and emotional areas of their life. And they set a goal in each of those areas with the help of their coach, right? That's where the coaching comes in. They say, okay,
the coach is your person, not a person at the school. Okay, got it.
Yeah, because like I said, they don't have time. They'd like to, but
I just wanted to try to clarify.
So we help them make that achievable, you know, a SMART goal. And then we help them identify their barriers to reaching that goal. And then at the end of each day, when they finish their lesson, they have to try to make that connection between the goal and what they learned that day, but it's often hard. So where the coach comes in is they come in and then they help that provide that scaffolding and that connection between what they learned and the goals and barriers that the student's facing, so that it's not just another checkbox. It's not just like, oh, I did this, I'm done. It's like, no, how is this, how can you use this to take the next step towards the person you want to be? Without that support, kids are really good at just, you know, saying what they think you want to hear, but it's a fine line of just making sure that student feels seen, heard, and valued. It's just showing up each day. And the students who complete our course say that they feel really seen. You know, they always like, thank you for listening. Well, we're not really listening. It's back and forth, but it feels like listening. And then we help them with that fine line between support and accountability. You know, it's support, but support without accountability doesn't propel progress. So it's saying the hard thing in a kind way and helping them take that next step forward each day. Yeah.
Nice. And you don't want the individual student to sign up. You want a school or a class or who do you want, as we're talking now, who do you want to call on Empower You, your company, and talk to you? And how do you want to sign up a whole school? What grades? Okay, you know, grade 1, grade 7, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want a class to sign up? Do you want a whole school? How do you work it?
Well, you know, we work with multi-tiered systems of support. So schools that are actively, you know, we work great with PBIS schools, you know, people who are mm-hmm. actively involved in tiered intervention for social emotional learning. We mm-hmm. have a tier 1 solution, which is our educator version. So giving all the educators in a school common language and teaching them the skills so they can use them with all students. Oh. But our sweet spot really is to work with middle schools and high school students at tier 2. So in that MTSS, in that, you know, student assistant team, it's one more tool in a toolbox that the school has for that student who's beginning to struggle, and they buy, you know, some intervention seats in our program. And then as the student hits a rough patch, they're like, oh, I'm going to put them in Empower You. And Empower You is, it's aligned with health and wellness Common Core standards. And because it is long and it is daily, it does in many districts qualify for a discretionary elective credit. So it's not only an intervention, but a student can earn credit for it as well.
Well, they're learning something. I like that idea. They're learning something. Okay.
Yeah,
and that,
exactly.
That's key stuff. So we're talking now, if I may, to obviously the school administrators who could pass the word on and teachers who could pass the word on too. But you want this to work through school counseling departments, school psychologists, that sort of thing. Am I correct?
Right. So school counselors love us because
I'm sure they do.
Like I said,
why not?
It's part of the job that they want to do, and we partner with the school.
Course.
We provide them with a report each week, letting them know their students' progress and what they're learning so that they can connect with their student about it. But school psychologists, school social workers, school counselors, and I'd say like the director of special services or the director of support services is usually the person that we talk to at a school district.
Well, so this is good, and I'm glad we narrowed that down. So you're going to take a big load, okay, if I may, off the I'll just call it the gigantic and generic counseling psychology department, that type of thing. You're going
to
take a big load off
them
and allow them
to support.
Yeah,
we're going to provide the support they want to support. They want to provide, but probably don't have time to because there's so many students suffering right now. Like you started to saying at the beginning, it's like it's one in. It used to be one in three. I think post COVID. You know, it's about one in two that's struggling to be engaged. I'm on the phone all day with schools, and, you know, the fail rates at high school right now for one or more classes is about 40%.
Terrible. Yeah, so, it's terrible right now because kids who were kind of on the edge, on the border, are losing interest in school because it's, A, easy to do that when you're not there and nobody's taking roll and all that sort of stuff and nobody's on top of you every day. And it's tough doing this at home. On that note, okay, it's COVID, and hopefully, like I said at the beginning, it's going to be over soon when we all get vaccinated, et cetera. I just was watching TV this morning where they're really trying, Biden's trying to reopen all the schools within 100 days of starting, which is almost summer vacation, I might add, but that's besides the point. Okay, so my question, okay, is over this last year, how long has Empower You been operating?
We've been around since 2018.
Okay, 2018, so that's, well, you're in your third year. Okay, basically, okay, which is great. So we have a little background there, all right, because now 2021, which is Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl for the Buccaneers. That puts it into perspective, too, for everybody, okay? So this year must have been one of the harder years. What are you seeing this year that you hadn't seen before, Katie?
I think just the lack of engagement. You know, I think students.
Well, on behalf of the students or the counselors?
Both. Well, I think educators are struggling. I told my husband,
we
bought a Powerball ticket. And I was like, if we win the big money, I want to give every educator $10,000 because it has been a heck of a 12 months. And they're exhausted and it's not over, right? And they're working so hard to engage these students. And it's hard and it's constantly changing. And their buckets need to be filled, too. I mean, we are using – a lot of schools are engaging with our educator support version of this because it also has a self-care component. And, you know, everyone's a little bit out of gas, right?
Yeah.
So
that's
hard. But I think the students it's interesting. It used to be that there was a long line out the door saying, I need help. And now they're not even asking for help. They just stopped asking for help. And that's worse. So I think
– It is. It is.
It's become harder, yeah.
Wow, it's been a tough year. Are you hearing that in particular from school counselors and school psychologists? What are you hearing from them about their mental state this year? That which is pretty interesting as you work with them.
You know, I do a lot of webinars and I always take polls at the beginning. And, you know, I ask two questions, you know, and then throughout it, I tabulate their answers on a little, you know, in the chat because it's all via Zoom. And, you know, I asked you questions. What percentage of your students do you think are struggling, you know, to overcome barriers right now? And then I say, how about you? How many of you are struggling with your own anxiety and stress because of the persistent change? And I was on it was with a bunch of administrators, it was principals last week, but 65% of them said that they were struggling with their own anxiety and stress. 65%, I mean, that's high. And students, you know, it ranges between 60 and 70% that they say are struggling. So I think in the past it was more like 30 to 40%. That's a big jump. And so It's not really sustainable. At some point, everyone needs to just stop and take a big deep breath and figure out how to put the oxygen mask on themselves first, including educators. Because students learn most by observing, right? They don't listen to anything we say. They watch what we do. And I believe that anxiety and stress is palpable and kind of contagious. And so when you talk about building culture and climate, you know, having everybody in the building have the skills they need to cope better with the hard things in front of them is important for everyone to have the state of mind where they can really focus and learn. So it's important. It's not going away. And we're just one more tool in the tool belt of schools and administrators to help in this important work.
Yeah, and you know, what you just said, it's not going away. In fact, the work that you guys are doing is probably going to get worse as we swing back in. Okay, just finding these kids. A lot of kids aren't even showing up. I mean, just finding these kids and then dealing with the aftermath of this year of COVID. And not that everybody's not trying their best and doing a great job. Okay, but it's hard. Okay, what do you see down the line for the future, Katie?
Well, it's so funny. There's so much research now on learning loss, right? How are we going to make up for this year of learning loss? And I think any school that's not thinking about, they're just going to get the kids back and start really digging in to shoving more math down, all the math down their throats that they missed is missing the opportunity to say, I've got to reengage the student first. I need to get their mind in a place. And when you've been gone, for some of these anxious students, you know, who now have social anxiety, now they're back in school or they have germ phobia, you know, there's a lot of things that coming back is going to be hard. And if schools aren't ready to address the social emotional needs of students in a holistic way, you can try all the math you want, but it's not going to be effective. And you know what? People get that now. I mean, I'd say maybe 5 years ago, it was like, really? You know, even though the research was there, I think what 2020 has taught us is that, if nothing else. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. My cure for this is to just say, okay, everybody kind of lost a year. We didn't really lose a year, but they kind of lost a year. Okay?
Right.
So for the next 5 years, we're going to call this K-11. So everybody's back on the same page. And tell all the colleges and universities that the kids are a little bit behind where they were for a while.
Yeah.
And we'll gradually catch it up. And keep it that simple. Okay? And just understand that everybody's in this together. All right, it's just that simple. Okay, we've just got to change the system and accommodate this craziness. Okay, and make it work. But the concern, okay, is next year, because I can tell you right now, we're not going to be hiring more school counselors and psychologists. The money isn't there for that. Okay, it just isn't going to happen. We need both of those, but they're not happening. Okay, so programs like yours that allow schools to outsource these services can make all the difference in the world. I mean this for success for these kids, especially these kids who really, really need it. And if you could take some of the pressure off the school counselors and psychologists for this, okay, and all those other people that you mentioned, okay, they're going to have more time to deal with the other kids as well. It's really important that services like yours work, okay, and are out there and understood by people, okay, because it just needs to be outsourced and outsourced well and outsourced to somebody you can trust. And that's what you guys are basically doing. I like what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. You get it. I like it. Well said.
I do get it.
Said it better.
Well, thank you. And it's gettable. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's a question of reaching the right people and having them understand it, because the school districts themselves, they have an obligation to cope with this challenge. Okay?
Right.
But they can't do it themselves.
Right.
Okay, they couldn't do it before themselves. Now they especially can't do it themselves. Okay, it's that simple. So you picked up on something. Again, Empower You, everybody. Empower You, the letter U, dot education will give you all the information you need. Okay, this is good stuff. And I'll tell you something else, and you mentioned this a little bit. You know, we deal with the equity, okay, with our Consortium for Equity in Education. And this is an equity challenge. And it's especially, you know, you take the top tier of schools, that's great. But once you get down a little bit below that, okay, too many kids, because their schools do not have the resources to handle this, okay, have to do it themselves, and they can't do it themselves. And it becomes an equity challenge, and you have to give them access to the services they need. And the school districts can't do it without groups like Empower You. There you go. It's just an equity and access thing, and it always boils down to that.
Yep, exactly.
You know? You're providing access, my friend. You're providing access.
Yeah.
So stay warm. Is it still minus 10 up there?
I don't know.
I'll
check. The sun's out, though. I'll take a sunny day with snow.
Yeah.
I'm warm inside, so it's all good. But
it is all
appreciate
good.
Appreciate you.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much for the time.
Oh,
and
Katie, my pleasure.
I appreciate
you're doing good work. You're
talking
doing good
to people
work.
Who get it.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
I get it. Okay, hopefully our audience gets it, all right? And we'll see what's doing, all right? I'll be back in touch
all
with
right.
you. Okay?
All right. Okay, take care.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Katie Dorn, everybody. She's the co-founder and CEO of Empower You, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, letter U, dot education. Check it out. It's good stuff, and I'll tell you the timing's right. That's simple. And it is, yeah, it is SEL, social-emotional learning, but it's going to take a lot of pressure, okay, off the counselors, school psychologists, all those social service folks. It's really, really important. Please check it out. Okay, we'll archive the show over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, join our consortium. Okay, read our magazine, Equity and Access. All right, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, Super Bowl day after Monday. Everybody have a good day.